Hi there, and welcome to TOPS, Titans of Publishing Show. I'm Bill Davis, and he's...
Hello.
He's Mark Hardy.
I'm present and accounted for. Reporting for duty.
Awesome. So happy Friday, everybody. Today, I think we're just going to continue on what we were talking about last week, which is storytelling. And I think Mark has a couple really cool resources to show. And talk about, and if you have any questions, type them in the comment box and I'll try to get to them, or we'll try to get to them. So without further ado, take it away, Mark.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. So, you know, last week, we talked a little bit about storytelling, and we wanted to kind of dig a little bit deeper and give you some tips and some resources. So, you know, the first thing that kind of to think about is storytelling in context, because now this may be me, you know, because I've done a lot of speaking. I've done a lot of speaking from the stage. And when somebody says storytelling, it's like I immediately think, okay, I'm up on stage and I'm telling a story. That's a personal story. It's a story about me or my history or my background or my life or a lesson I learned or a failure I overcame. And the takeaway is that's one type of story. But guess what? It's not the only type of story.
Right.
You know, so I think, you know, what I like to do is, you know, I keep one of these. Of course, there's, you know, nothing on, it's blank right now. But I actually keep a running archive of, you know, personal events. You know, Bill, you mentioned, you know, last time we were talking about the event that you had with the cough drops. You know, a really fun exercise is to kind of look at your life and kind of look at your three biggest successes, your three biggest failures, your three biggest missed opportunities, and what were your takeaways, and kind of see what kind of comes up. You know, I mean, I have gone back to, you know, stories from like me at 10 years old. I mean, you, and what's cool about this is, it's kind of like your life. It's like your life as a movie. You're just taking a really kind of small piece of it. Any feedback on that, Bill, before I kind of dive a little bit deeper?
No, I like that. I like that a lot. I was thinking back. Oh, I was hearkening back to high school. that was like 80 years ago, I think. And I just remember... In high school, you'll never guess, but I hung out with the sports types, and half the time I hung out with like the drama band types. And in English class, I hung out with the drama types because they, you know, the sports types weren't in the same class as me. They were taking other things. But I spent a lot of time with these two particular people, and we used to just in the back of the room when the teacher was like letting us do whatever we did, you know, free ride or whatever, we would just make up stories and try to tie in different elements that the other two people would interject, and it was really fun. So maybe that's where I kind of get this, you know, get this idea of my storytelling type. But go on, I'm liking what you're
okay, so that is, you know, that's the easy and the most obvious storytelling is your own past, your own experience, you know, whether this is you individually, you know, interacting with other people. The other thing is you can capitalize on what are kind of story narratives or story frameworks that you've seen in TV, you've seen in movies, you know, you've seen if you've gone to the theater, you know, if you've gone to an opera, if you've attended a symphony, there, you know, everything is kind of based on story. So, you know, I have, this is a really cool resource, and it's called 20 Master Plots. If you can see that, the author's name is Andrew Tobias. I'm sorry, Ronald Tobias.
I was going to say, I know the other one.
Yeah, he's an investment guy, isn't he? I remember that. So that kind of stuck in my brain. Now, what's interesting about this is you literally can find every movie plot based on one of these. So, for example, I'm just going to kind of pick a couple. you know, master plot number six, revenge. Master plot number eight, rivalry.
Don't they all end in revenge? No, I'm kidding.
Master plot number 11, and this is this we've seen this quite a bit, and this can, you know, really adapt easily. Metamorphosis. You know, I can talk about my metamorphosis when I, you know, from being very shy and just in fear of being called on in class to overcoming that and speaking in front of, I think the largest crowd I spoke in front of was like 2,000 people, and they couldn't find a facility that big, and they actually got like an aircraft hangar and just kind of brought chairs in and stuff that was overseas. So, you know, great example of metamorphosis. And the reason you want to do stories is, you know, number one, they're fun. And number two, it makes the information easier to access. You know, that from what I talked about last time is, you know, this mantra that I learned, it's not about the data. It's not about the facts, the figures, the bullet points. It's about the experience. It's about the experience you leave with someone. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, when you go see a movie and you come out like, whoa, I never expected that, you know, that twist at the end. And it's like, you know, are you going to recall all the, you know, the many bullet points and the, you know, the three different, you know, story arcs? No, you're going to come away with that experience. You know, you were excited, you were happy, you know, whatever that experience is. So, you know, what I'm sharing is to help you get started, to help you kind of go that extra, you dig a little deeper, a little extra, and do something. And here's the other thing too. Now, even if you take one of these plots, which may say, hey, you know, this book, everybody's going to be pulling from this, you know, master plot number 16, sacrifice. Well, there, you know, you can start here as a foundation and you can adapt it to your own use or your own experience. And the nice thing about following one of these, you know, plots or themes is they're already proven. They've already been tested in entertainment, in popular culture, in music. Yeah. So, you know, you're getting a little bit of an advantage going into it, like, hey, will this work or not? So anyway, that's some kind of quick tips on storytelling.
Awesome. So just to kind of add on to that, I had, going back to high school again, I had a teacher. He was our political science teacher, and he was a big tennis buff. He loved tennis, but he didn't understand other sports, and he was always impressing upon his students, who, me included, who, and at the time I was a big football fan. Well, I was a big sports fan. He said, you only have to watch the last 2 minutes of any kind of sporting event. And we turned that on its head one day and said, well, what about tennis? Because if you think about it, all sports, they can be told in a story, right? It's a story. It's a chronological timeline of what happened. You develop characters. There are plots. There are themes. There are outcomes. But everything leading up to the kind of that climax, the end, and sometimes games end early, right? I mean, watch any sporting event where one team is beating the crap out of the other, and you'll see all the seats are empty, right? But let's just say it's a great game. Like, apparently the second game of the World Series was great. I didn't watch it, but I guess it was like tied in the top of the eighth. Tied in the eighth inning or ninth inning or something.
Well, actually, I turned it off because Los Angeles was winning 3-1, and I watched Los Angeles take the lead with games in Chicago, and it was like, you know, they're slamming the door. They're not getting back in the game. And I figured the same thing would hold true. And what made it really exciting is not only did Houston come back to tie it, but then Los Angeles took the lead. Houston came back again, and then finally won it. So it was, quite a
different ending. That's a good story, right? It has an exciting ending. But everything that led up to that, you know, built that story. It's not like the game sucked. Maybe it was not very good, but it didn't suck the whole time. there were things developing. Like, and if you watch sports and you're a student of sport, as with a lot of things, you see that the strategies bear out most, you know, many times. Sometimes there are mistakes made, like pulling a pitcher too soon. I hear that was debated. It's just the end is the important thing, and it's the thing that everybody remembers. But if you're a true, like, aficionado of something, everything leading up to that is extremely important and key. So you can't just build a story with a climax. You have to build a story. You have to build it up, right? So I think that's critical. Also, it's interesting that you, and this has nothing really to do with storytelling per se, but you talked about metamorphosis. It's interesting how your and my story there are very similar, in that I did everything I could not to speak publicly in school. I actually circumvented the whole public speaking class requirement by taking like 7 different classes to kind of meet that goal, just to get around it. It was dumb. I should have just like did it and got it over with. But I hated talking in front of people. And I've never been up in front of like 2,000 people, but I've been up in front of hundreds of people. And it still scares the shit out of me.
Well, you know, here's the thing. It's not to say that you won't have, you know, because if you look at great performers, I mean, they still have nerves. I mean, there was a hockey goaltender that used to throw up before every game. It's like a ritual. And it was just part of his process. You know, the key is to, you know, get past that. So I've got another resource to share that kind of tagged into, or did you want to kind of go a little bit forward with that story before I share the second resource for today?
No, go ahead. Jump right into the second one.
All right. So this tags nicely on what you said. It's not just the ending. It's what leads up to the ending. And what, you know, when you think about what leads up is you have a plot, but who fulfills the plot? Mm-hmm. Characters. Yeah. Characters fulfill the plot. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, I am in entertainment. I can be, you know, go all geeky at special effects and CGI and, you know, 3D and IMAX. But I gotta have some characters with depth. They have to have some kind of personality. They have to have some kind of presence. Otherwise, it's superficial. It's fluff. And same thing applies with your stories. So this second book, it actually has a very similar cover design, but it's written by a different author, Victoria Schmidt. And this is 45 Master Characters. And I should say, and you know, here's the first one, 20 Master Plots. These were actually written for people that were, you know, screenwriters, like, how do I build my screenplay? And yet there's key takeaways that you can use to kind of build out your character or other characters in the story. I'm not going to kind of pull excerpts from this, but I will share one other entertainment tidbit, and then I'll turn it back to you, Bill. A lot of times when you ask Eric actors, they actually enjoy playing villains more than they do heroes. And when you ask them why that is they say because the villains are more complicated, they're more conflicted, they're not just kind of one dimensional. So, you know, I'm saying this is what Thor Ragnarok comes out like a week from today. So when you watch superhero movies, you'll find that, you know, they're not perfect, that they have flaws, they make mistakes. And that's part, so they become more accessible to you as a character, more relatable. And obviously we have that inherently as part of the human condition, is that we constantly make mistakes. The question is, do we learn from them? Do we move forward? Do we incorporate that and kind of, evolve in terms of our skills, our ability, and obviously our success?
Yeah, I think you touched on something really interesting there, and that is, you know, when I was a kid, I used to read a lot of comic books, and I really haven't read a comic book in 40 years, and I don't watch those types of movies, but I will tell you that comic books are one of the best, genres or whatever, for learning and understanding how storytelling works, because there's a good guy, there's a bad guy or gal. You know, there's plot development, there's character development. All of the critical pieces that you put into a story are in comic book stories. Now, they're at least for the ones that are meant for children, they're kind of, you know, less sophisticated. But nowadays, a lot of comic books are written for adults, just like a lot of cartoons are written for adults. And like The Simpsons and Family Guy and South Park and stuff like that. I'm not saying that those are great storytelling mechanisms themselves, but comic books are, and I think and even or maybe more so, the movies are. They really try to go into character development and plot development and stuff like that. And it's a good way to learn and just watch, you know. People like Stan Lee know how to tell a story. So that's pretty cool. I think we're about ready to wrap in a few minutes, but what else do you want to talk about? You want to talk about sports anymore? Because I like the sports metaphor for telling stories.
Let's sum up. You know, I mean, so we picked two very popular examples that are with us, in our lives with storytelling. One is sports, and the other is entertainment. And, you know, I would add is that we've seen a lot of this, you know, the same stories just kind of, and in fact, maybe even told the same way, just with a different plot. So, you know, there is an element of caution, which is, you know, don't become a cliche. And so that's why you see, these stories kind of, well, obviously sports, the outcome is unknown. You don't know who's going to win the World Series. You know, I mean, you may think that it's one team or the other, but just as this last game is, it surprised me. It surprised that a lot of people that, you know, that there was that rapid change of events. So yeah, so my tip is, you know, once you have that kind of story structure, just kind of look at it in a bigger context, and also kind of, look at it critically and make sure it's not kind of a typical cliche. If it is a cliche, then what I would say is it the right story? Or maybe you can make it so there's a unique twist. I mean, you know, what's that old saying that, you know, there are no new ideas, there's just kind of reworking old ones? Right. Well, that, you know, that happens all the time. I mean, you think you've seen the same thing, and then there's some kind of twist or something that's unexpected that takes the story in a new direction. So, right. Yeah, so just kind of look at that as you're developing your storytelling prowess.
Yeah, and one last thing, and I'm surprised neither of us brought this up, but one of the best, I don't know if it's necessarily a storytelling way to learn, but watch politics and watch how those characters develop. And sometimes it's over the course of years, but watch how they develop, watch how the story develops, and just go back to the last presidential election and watch how that story developed and how all of the, you know, multiple dozens, if not hundreds of people involved in, you know, in both campaigns, watch how their character development went, and talk about, you know, plots. And now I know that none of this was written ahead of time. Well, maybe it was, but we didn't know the outcome. It was entertaining, character development, plot twists everywhere, every day. It's just really interesting to watch, and I think if you went back and kind of chronicled things and tried to tell that story, it might look a lot like fiction. Because it's, none of that stuff was, I don't don't think a lot of people foresaw the ultimate outcome, which made it entertaining. But now, you know, now we have to deal with that. But nevertheless, it's a good place to see how story, how you could take a real world thing and turn it into a story that you can use leverage for, you know, multiple purposes. Anyway, that's it for me. All right, thanks, Mark. I want everybody to remember to go to our website right here on the screen. It's titansofpublishing.com/shows. You can see all the shows we've had on there. I think this is show number 18. So everything's there. It was all recorded live, so none of it's like edited or anything like that. It's raw, unvarnished, and you can see everything we've talked about. And you can also register to get notifications for when we're going to have our next show. But guess what? Our next show is always next Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific. So there you go. Hope everybody has a happy holiday. And be safe and take care, guys. Bye.
See ya.